Well, if I were to ask how many of you have ever had a cough, I imagine most of you or all of you would throw your hand up in the air. It's something that we all get from time to time. And if you've had a cough, perhaps you have reached for, and this isn't an endorsement, but just an example, you've reached for a bottle of Buckley's cough syrup, and you lived out their slogan, "It tastes awful, and it works." Welcome to the parable of the vineyard, where a landowner goes out to the market seeking day laborers. He finds some, agrees to pay them a day's wage, and realizing he needs more workers to bring in the harvest, the landowner goes out several times throughout the day, and each time hiring more workers and agreeing to pay a daily wage. Finally, right at the end of the day, he hires the last batch of workers who have yet to find work. And when the day is done, the laborers come back from the field, and the landowner pays the individuals he hired last first, and they get paid the same as everyone else. And there is much grumbling. And the landowner rebukes them, saying he can do what he wants with his money. On its head, this is a difficult to swallow parable about grace. But it is also about much more than that. I'm not sure if you have seen it, but there is an image circulating on the internet right now. It is a picture of a middle-aged white man standing in front of a Lamborghini. The caption reads as follows: "My boss arrived at work in a brand new Lamborghini. I said, 'Wow, that's an amazing car.' He replied, 'If you work hard, put in all your hours, and strive for excellence, I'll get another one next year.'" When we read this parable, we identify with the workers who were hired early in the morning. We identify with them because they are the characters in this parable who are most like most of us. I imagine that most of us are hard workers who haven't looked to get ahead in life by taking shortcuts or cheating. And yet, this parable is clearly intended to provoke a reaction. And the reaction it seeks is to offend the hearer about the apparent unfairness of the landowner in how the workers get paid. Worse, we write God into the role of the landowner, and we are left questioning God's goodness and fairness. But perhaps we should question why we assume the landowner represents God. Yes, this is a parable about God's grace and how God's grace is equal and sufficient for everyone. But as I said earlier, it is also about more than that. It's a reminder of who we are within the cosmic scheme of things. We like to shape our identity, indeed our self-worth, based on possessions and incomes. Whether we know it or not, or are comfortable with it or not, we are constantly comparing ourselves to our neighbors and asking why we can't have that new car or take that expensive vacation. We want fairness and equality that serves our interests, but not if we all end up getting the same prize. It's like Charlie Brown's little sister Sally in the classic Charlie Brown Christmas special. If you've seen it, you may recall that at one point Sally is writing a letter to Santa Claus. And in the process, she generates an enormous list of toys that she wants. And then at the conclusion of her North Pole-bound missive, she writes, "But if that is too much to carry, just send cash." And when Charlie Brown sees this and despairs over his own sister's greed, Sally indignantly responds, "All I want is my fair share. All I want is what I have coming to me." Now, I am a white male who grew up in the East End of Toronto. And whether I know it or not, that fact of birth has made my life easy in ways I can't even comprehend. I am now a white male who is a minister of the church. And say what you will about church decline and its influence in society, when I've been identified as a minister and I have something to say, people generally listen. And when I was going through seminary, my field education supervisor was a white female. And she was often dismissed by her male colleagues and not given the credit she deserved. I know this is true because I witnessed it. There is an aspect of fairness at play in our lives, and whether we like it or not, life often isn't fair. Hard work doesn't always pay off, and sometimes hard work breaks you. Sometimes you are passed over because of your gender, ethnicity, social class, or sexual identity. And sometimes, because of those things, you aren't passed over. We think that being hardworking, devoted Christians will make a difference. Professor Carolyn Lewis has something to say about that. She writes, "I think this is what Jesus is doing there. You think your privilege will make a difference, will matter. Of course you do. That's human nature. That's human sin. You'd like to believe that's not the case, but this is precisely why this parable needs to be told again and again. The subversive and easily overlooked purpose of this parable is to make us realize how deep our sense of entitlement exists. And if you're not sure if that is true, keep reading in Matthew's gospel with what comes next with James and John and their mother asking Jesus whether her boys will sit at the right and the left-hand side of the Lord. Jesus is talking to and teaching his disciples in this story. And this is a very pointed message that he is sending to them. His followers and closest friends were getting a little too comfortable. They were beginning to enjoy the privilege that came with being a disciple of Jesus. I mean, think of the crowds that are following them around, and they're the ones who are close to him. Things were becoming easy for them, and they were being afforded luxuries because of this privilege, which is what leads to that encounter with the mother of James and John. In her sermon on this passage, Barbara Brown Taylor says that this parable is a little like the cod liver oil that mothers used to give their kids to cure what ailed them, like the Buckley's cough syrup I mentioned earlier. You know it's good for you. You trust the one who is giving it to you, but that doesn't make it very easy to swallow. Most of us are born into this world with a huge sense of infantile entitlement, followed by, at a very early age, a seemingly intuitive sense of fairness and unfairness. And so when the wages are paid, we are rightly put out by how unjustly the initial workers are treated. Taylor points out, why do we identify with those who are hired at the crack of dawn? Who told us that we've been working for 12 hours? How do we know that our work doesn't amount to one measly hour? We are offended at how the workers are paid, that those who work longer should be rewarded. But if this is a parable about the kingdom of heaven, and if the wage is a metaphor for God's grace, then we would do well to remind ourselves that God's grace is not something you bargain for or store up. God doesn't make contracts that we can negotiate with. God makes covenants. God doesn't reward us. God fulfills those covenants because of God's overwhelming grace and mercy, because it flows out of God's character. British theologian N.T. Wright puts it this way: people who work in church circles can easily assume that they are the special ones, God's inner circle. In reality, God is out in the marketplace looking for the people everybody else is trying to ignore, welcoming them on the same terms, surprising them with God's generous grace. And in Matthew's eyes, the earliest church clearly needed to learn that lesson. Jesus persists in telling us the truth about ourselves. Left alone, we lose sight of the kingdom of heaven, but Jesus calls us back. The gospel is not neat and tidy. It is not designed to fit into our compartmentalized modern lives. The gospel is hard, and it challenges us out of complacency. And this message reminds us to check our privilege at the door. Showing up for worship on a Sunday morning doesn't build up your credit in grace. God isn't interested in picking favorites. God is interested in extending grace to everyone. And while we are perhaps busy being offended, God is out in the market. And God is wondering why we aren't out there also. God is dispensing justice, and we are busy making sure we get our fair share. And this is the hidden truth about this passage. The truth that we miss about how this passage divides us. And it divides us because we are so busy dealing with our own insecurities. We are so busy making sure we get our due, that our own innate sense of justice is fulfilled, that we miss how it divides us. We miss how we look around, wondering if someone has worked longer than me or less than me and received the same reward. We let our preconceived notions about justice splinter and divide us. Our beliefs, our privilege, alienate us from one another, just like the workers became alienated from one another. Jesus was sending a very targeted message to the disciples that they shouldn't get ahead of themselves, that they should assume a posture of humility, because God's justice, the work of the kingdom of heaven, can't happen when we end up divided and alone in the world. Thanks be to God. Amen.